Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. All-powerful God, in Jesus Christ you turned death into life and defeat into victory. Increase our faith and trust in him, that we may triumph over all evil in the strength of the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Okay, I'm going to trade.
A reading from Genesis. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 130 responsively. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared.
I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, with the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, "I believed, and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the early earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again, so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. The Gospel of the Lord.
I saw the theme of brokenness weaving its way through our readings today. First, that reading from the book of Genesis, we heard how God seeks out the first humans who have broken their covenant with God. And then in Psalm 130, we cried out to God with a broken heart and a broken life. And in the New Testament reading, we heard Paul urging the church of Corinth to stand firm, to take heart in the midst of struggle. The early church was struggling as the believers made new commitments to the ways of Jesus Christ, and they broke ties with their culture and their wider social networks. Perhaps they felt broken within their spirits at times when they sought to leave behind certain religious and cultural traditions in order to forge new ones in the community of Jesus Christ. And then in the Gospel of Mark, we hear how Jesus was attacked by his Jewish community and even his own family as he makes new ties to claim a wider family in those who follow God. Underlying the images of broken community with family and friends, with God, even with creation, is that overarching theme of God's presence. God walking in the garden to find Adam and Eve, first man and first woman, actively looking for them, even though, of course, God must have already known where they were hiding. We don't hear these verses today, but the Genesis text goes on to tell the consequences of the alienation, the consequences of the broken ties. God speaks to them about hard physical labor, difficult childbirth, the loss of innocence, the loss of the garden, and that easy familiarity that first man and first woman had with God. Yet, as the psalmist proclaims, and even in the later stories in Genesis bears out, with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is the great power to redeem. Paul proclaims to the people of Corinth that in the midst of life's routine struggles and with any alienation caused by their beliefs, that God is with them in Christ Jesus. Do not lose heart, Paul urges. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. If the earthly tent, that would be our body, if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What good words those are for us to hear today as our community struggles with sickness and brokenness, with death, with sadness, with so many different kinds of human brokenness. One of our San Diego Lutheran churches voted to close last Sunday. They're going to close at the end of the month. College Lutheran Church is over by SDSU. And it was organized in the 1950s, actually in 1950, with a goal to provide a Lutheran center for the college students and the faculty and staff and their families. The neighborhood around College Lutheran was teeming with young families, and it was all single-family homes. And through the years, the neighborhood has certainly changed, if you can picture in your mind El Cajon Boulevard and Montezuma. It's a Ralph's and a Home Depot or some big Big Lots or something, and of course a Starbucks. So through the years, that neighborhood has really changed. The families have gone away. Families that remained are very much smaller than they were 60 years ago. And SDSU has gotten larger and has taken on a life of its own. About 5 years ago, this church community was ready to close. They had no called pastor. Attendance had dwindled to, on a good Sunday, 18. And those faithful few who were in church every Sunday were trying to do church just the way they had always done it. And they were tired. And then they received a big memorial gift. And they took a second breath. They called a full-time pastor on a 3-year term call. And they spent a good deal of money fixing up the facilities. Those old, tired buildings really needed to have some maintenance taken care of. And then they continued to plan for closure, deciding how they're going to leave and what their legacy was going to be of this diminished community, what they would leave to the broader church, what would they leave to the community that surrounds SDSU. The pastor's newsletter this last month ended with these words of hope and encouragement. We will continue to look to God with expectation that all we have will be used by God in amazing and, yes, even shocking ways beyond our wildest imaginations. We are not going to settle for mere hope. We will expect, all capital letters, God to use what we have and who we are to do amazing things. In some ways, the story of College Lutheran may seem appropriate under this theme of brokenness, a broken community. But I'm telling you this story because the underlying story is the strength of God's presence and healing and renewing of the community. Those people who are members of College Lutheran now carry their gifts and their faith to other congregations and worshiping communities. The whole church will continue to benefit from what God has been up to for 65 years with College Lutheran. And now their ministry will continue in new ways and in new places. One new thing that has happened is that there is worshiping in College Lutheran space is a Lutheran community called the Aromo Christian Fellowship. The pastor of that church was just ordained within the last year in the ELCA, a Lutheran pastor from Ethiopia. And they are worshiping very different from how we worship, but very enthusiastic. The ordination was quite an event. They're worshiping over 100 people every Sunday. What a gift College Lutheran has been to this community that continues to grow in that area. In that area, people are coming who speak Oromo are coming to that community, and they're doing Sunday school in English because the children are, although everybody is first generation, new refugees, new immigrants, they are teaching their children in English. And so the Sunday school has been taught by people from College Lutheran, helping them learn the ways of Christian living in the United States and in the Lutheran Church. That's one gift that they're giving. They're looking at ways to, how else will this property be, the property they decided to give to the synod. So the synod office has formed a team, and they will work together to decide what we're going to do with this property and what we're going to do with this community of Ethiopians that are worshiping there. And they want to know where they're going to worship, those 18 or 20 people that are still part of that community. And the pastor, Pastor Christina Higuera Street, has asked us, all the congregations in San Diego, take a picture and send it to us, because we want to know what we'll bump into when we come to your church. So we might have, there might already be somebody sitting in this congregation who's from College Lutheran, but we might find that they're worshiping in new ways and in new places might bring them here. You know, that new ways and new places is exactly what Jesus was getting in trouble for. He was getting in trouble with the Jewish authorities. Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus was so surrounded by so many people that he couldn't even find a place to sit down to eat, that there were so many people surrounding him. But they weren't the right kind of people, according to the Jewish authorities. You know, Jesus surrounded himself with people that were misfits, were outcasts. As we hear this story from Mark, it moves along pretty fast. Mark, we're in the third chapter. This is the year of Mark, and we heard the first two chapters of Mark's gospel back in the winter, and now we jump back in and we start in the third chapter. The first two chapters that we heard last winter, we saw how Jesus begins his ministry, preaching the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." And then in quick, broad strokes, Mark sketches the next days and weeks. Jesus calls the disciples. He begins his walk through the countryside, healing the sick, casting out demons, preaching and teaching the good news. He raises quite a stir by concentrating his ministry on those who are the outcasts, the tax collectors, the sinners, the demon-possessed. The scribes and the Pharisees begin to raise questions about him, but Jesus doesn't seem to care what people think. He cares only about God and inviting people into that love relationship. Jesus only cares about healing the brokenness that he sees all around him and forming God's community of grace and justice. God's community is wider than ever imagined and built on that firm foundation of love and justice and compassion. It's not even confined by the strong family ties of God's chosen people, but it's welcome and open to all who believe and follow God. In this text that we heard today from Mark's gospel, Jesus redefines family. He doesn't reject the institution of family. He doesn't reject his own family. He just opens up the meaning of family. He expands it. He reframes it. In this new and improved way of experience family, it doesn't matter if you're a religious expert or a perfect person. It doesn't matter who your mother is or who your father is. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, gay or straight, old or young, rich or poor, completely able-bodied or not, of one ethnic group or race or another. One commentator said it like this: looking around him at the crowds of misfits, crazies, and his relentlessly undiscerning disciples, Jesus says, "This is my family." It's just the diverse mess of humanity with its moral, physical, spiritual beauty and imperfections. The religious and the legal experts were not excluded or rejected, but they failed to open their eyes and their hearts to what Jesus was saying and doing. And that is the eternal sin that they are guilty of. They chose not to see the goodness that was right before their eyes. They draw a line in the wrong place and stay on the outside of that circle of grace. What side of the line are you on? What side of the line are we on? The gospel calls us to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And we do that. But we are still demon-bound whenever we draw a circle of exclusivity, whenever we attempt to name who's in and who's out, whenever we refuse to see the goodness that is right before our eyes. The love of God we see revealed in Jesus knows no boundaries and respects no laws that would keep that love from being shared with everyone. We, the beloved children of God, the broken community of broken believers, are encouraged to push past boundaries too. We are encouraged to push past boundaries of what's socially or religiously acceptable in order to reach more people with the often surprising, sometimes upsetting, always unimaginably gracious and wildly inclusive love of Jesus. Summer school homework for you. This week, look around and see where you might see God's presence in the midst of brokenness. See where you can bring healing, where you can create community in word and deed, both inside our doors and outside as well. Jesus invites us to make our hospitality, our welcome, our family as inclusive as his. Here are my brothers and sisters. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Amen. So is that Madeline? And Megan? Megan loves to make herself known in our presence, and I'm so happy that she is here, and you're welcome to stay in the church with her. I love the sound of babies crying.